With me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. That will be our first passage. And this is a scripture chain. We began a couple of weeks ago on the will of God, the Lord's will. That's the subject that we're studying, about what the Bible has to say about the Lord's will or God's will. Well, first, welcome everyone. Appreciate so much you being here this evening. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about that the Bible teaches that God is sovereign in His rule. But the question we ask is, does the sovereign rule of God mean that whatever happens is the will of God? And there are those who believe that whatever happens is God's will. And I would say to you, there's a sense in which that is true. But if we don't make some distinctions, then we're going to have a misunderstanding of what the Bible teaches about the will of God. You know, some think that here's a woman who gives birth to a sick child and the child dies. And someone says, well, since that happened, it must be the Lord's will. Or here's a young man who has an automobile accident, not of any fault of his, but a drunk driver crosses the median, hits him head on, and he's killed. And someone says, well, it must be the Lord's will. Or here's a young man who goes off to college, not planning on getting married. He wants to get his degree before he finds this girl that will be his wife. But there in the first semester, he meets a girl, falls in love with her, and he wants to marry her, thinking, you know, this is unexpected. This is not something that I had planned. But since it happened the way it happened, it must be the Lord's will. Well, are these things the Lord's will? Well, there is a sense, as we've mentioned, that everything that happens or whatever happens is the Lord's will. But we need to make some distinctions. And to help us see these distinctions, we're looking at the Lord's will in the following three areas. And this is a review of what we talked about last week. The Lord's will can be divided into what we call God's purposive will, God's preceptive will, and God's permissive will. And last week we talked about God's purposive will. And what we mean by God's purposive will, it's His prescribed or purposed will. It is what God performs, or what God actually causes to happen in a direct way. Sometimes we call it God's decretive will, because we often see God's purpose expressed in His decrees. When God has decreed something to happen, you can mark it down, it will then happen. It's His decretive will. Sometimes it's called His unconditional will, because when God has decreed it, God has determined it. And there's nothing that anybody can do that will change this will of God, God's purposive will. If God desires to go through an iron wall, then He's coming through an iron wall, if that is His purposive will. It's also called His sovereign will. He is in complete and absolute control of what is taking place. He is sovereign in complete control. It's also called His determined will. What God has determined to happen, no one can do anything to stop it. And we have said that the definition to remember as we talk about God's purposive will is God's desire and God's decision. That's the definition to remember when we talk about His purposive will. And the Bible uses the will of God, or makes reference to God's will in this sense in several places in Scripture, and we looked at some of those last week. And we gave three examples, and these are not the only examples of God's purposive will, but God's creation of the world would be according to God's purposive will. He decided it, He desired it, He decided it, He did it, He accomplished it. God's scheme of redemption that we talked about this morning in our Bible class, of His plan that He purposed to redeem man through a Redeemer. That was God's purposive will, and He desired it, He decided it, He accomplished it through His Son, Jesus Christ. And then God's second coming, or the Lord's second coming, the coming of Jesus, and the judgment day. Well, that's coming. That's according to God's purpose and will. It's going to happen, and man cannot affect that. It's going to come to pass. That's what we mean by God's purposive will. Well, this evening we're going to look at the second of these, and that is God's preceptive will. And what do we mean by God's preceptive will? Well, what we mean is God's desired will, or we might call it His preferred will. Some have called it His moral will. This involves His precepts, His statutes, His laws, His commandments. It's what He desires concerning man, how man ought to live his life. That's called the will of God. When we're talking about God's purpose of will, we're talking about God's desire and man's decision. And that is the definition to remember when we talk about His preceptive will. We're talking about God's desire, but it's man's decision of whether or not he will do it or not. It involves what God prefers to happen, but because man is created with volition, with the ability to choose, we are given the opportunity and responsibility to choose whether or not we're going to carry out His will or not. That's His preceptive will. It is the will of God that expresses His desire, but it is left up to our decision as whether or not we're going to carry it out. That's what we mean by God's preceptive will. And we're going to look at some examples of this. The first passage here is in Matthew 23 and in verse 37. And by the way, as we go through this, we're going to just be looking at passage after passage that makes reference to God's preceptive will. You may be thinking, well, Lynn, you've made the point. You're being redundant here. But I want us to see that this is the case. And what I want us to see, that this proves that God's, or rather various ones' view of God's purposive will, God's sovereignty, cannot be true. As we mentioned earlier, there are some who believe that the sovereign will of God means that everything that happens is something that God purposed, something that God desired, purposed, and He accomplished. In other words, in order for God to be sovereign, they believe that God has to bring into pass everything that comes to pass. That God is the one that caused it. That God is the one that did it. And they believe that in order for God to be sovereign, that has to be the case. In other words, everything is according to His purposive will, His sovereign will. The Bible doesn't teach that. There are certain things that are according to God's sovereign will, His purposive will. And by the way, there are other things that would be according to God's purposive will that I didn't mention earlier. And some of them we may not know what they are. You know, I think that God at times have had His purposive will concerning nations. Now, I know that there's a time of where God gives a nation the opportunity to repent. We'll be talking about that some tonight. And when they repent, then He does not bring destruction. But there comes a point of where it's time for judgment. And it's according to God's purpose of will, it's going to be done. And many times we don't know what God's purpose of will is, but we know there is a purpose of will of God. And when that is, God purposes it, then it will take place. It is not dependent upon man's decision. But we also see, though, and we'll see tonight, that there is a will of God that we call His preceptive will, where God desires it, but it's up to man whether he will decide to do it or not. Look here at Matthew chapter 23. This is the first passage we'll be looking at in this scripture chain. Jesus is speaking. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing." And notice, Jesus said, "I wanted to gather your children together." I would say that's the will of Jesus. That's what He wanted. It's the will of God. He wanted to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But, He says, "you were unwilling." what the Lord desired didn't happen. What God wanted did not happen. Why? Because there's man's decision involved here. They were unwilling. And so we have here God's desire, but we have man's decision. And so just because God desired it doesn't mean that it's coming to pass. Just because God wills it doesn't mean it comes to pass. God's perceptive will, though, many times, is expressed in laws or commandments that we are expected to obey. And so the will of God sometimes would be His precepts, His laws, His commandments. His will would be that which He has commanded us then to obey. Now that involves two things. First of all, it requires knowing God's will. That is, if we're going to do it. And it requires doing it. And that's man's decision. And we're going to see in this that here's the will of God, what He desires, given in His Word and His precepts and commands. But we've got to know it, and we've got to do it, which is our decision. In the margin of Matthew 23, verse 37, write Ephesians 5, verse 17. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. And then turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17. Here, Paul says, "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And notice, we have the responsibility to study and understand the perceptive will of God because we have a choice to make here. When he talks about understand the will, notice the word, the phrase, the will of the Lord. And so we're told, understand. They were told to understand what the will of the Lord is. There's a decision that we then have to make. Here's the will of the Lord. That no doubt would have to do with His precepts, His laws, His commands for us. And we are called upon, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, in Ephesians 5, verse 17, write, in the margin of Ephesians 5, 17, write Colossians 1, verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. And then turn to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. This is a prayer that Paul prays for the Colossian Christians. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Notice His will. What is that? Well, that would be His preceptive will, no doubt. For us to come to a knowledge of what He wants us to do, how He wants us to live our lives, and we pray that we might come to an understanding, a knowledge of His will. There's no way for man to decide to fulfill God's desire, His will, unless man has a knowledge of God's will. And so, I think we can safely say it here, and as we'll see as we go through these other passages, that it's not whatever man does, that's not something that God has decreed. That's not something that is according to His purpose of will when it just happens. We understand that sometimes man chooses not to come to an understanding of His will. There are times that man chooses not to seek His will and to do it. And therefore, God's preceptive will is what God desires of man, but it's not always accomplished because there's man's decision that's involved. And so keep in mind, it's God's desire, man's decision, when it comes to the perceptive will of God. Now, in the margin of Colossians 1, verse 9, write John 7, verse 17. John 7, verse 17. And then turn over to John 7, verse 17. Jesus says, "If anyone is willing to do His will," God's will, "He will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." Notice, if anyone is willing to do His will. This is the perceptive will of God. This is what God desires. He has a desire. It's His will. But he says if anyone is willing to do His will, that implies that there may be some who are not willing then to do His will. Man makes the decision of whether or not he is going to be willing to do His will. Even though God has a desired will, and even though God has expressed His desired will, God does not always get His way done, because man's decision is involved. Some might say, well, therefore it must not have been His will if it didn't happen. Well, no. If it's His perceptive will, God wants it, He desires it, but it doesn't get accomplished because there is another will that's involved here, and that is man's will, man's decision. In the margin of John 7, verse 17, write Matthew 7 and verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. And then turn over to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus is speaking here. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Notice, God has a desire, a will. And Jesus here expresses it as the will of the Father in heaven. But man has a decision to make. Will man do the Father's will? Well, we know that some do not. Now, this is not a part of the... I'm getting ahead of myself here. So here you have, again, God's decision, God's desire, rather, but man's decision. Now, in the margin of Matthew 7, verse 21, write 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. And then turn to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Paul says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. He desires all men to be saved, and He desires them to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, some people's concept of the will of God is that whatever happens is God's will. Or another way of saying it, God always gets His way. Have you ever heard that say? God will always get His way. Well, here, what does God desire? That all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God's preceptive will. God's desire are these two things, that all men be saved and that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. All right, let's put that up there. But what do we know to be true? Man's decision is evident. Many will not be saved. Many will not come to the knowledge of the truth. And you don't have to put this in the scripture, in the chain, but Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Is that God's will? No. Because God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, but here are many who are going down the way that leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Is that God's will, that few find it and only and many don't find the narrow way which leads to life? No, that's not God's will. This is not what God wants, but it is what's happening. Why is that? Well, it's because we're talking about the perceptive will of God here. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So here are some who are never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I thought God desired that all come to a knowledge of the truth. He does. But there are some who will never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Man has a free will. Man has volition. Man has the ability to choose of whether or not he will seek that will or not. Remember this point. In matters of God's perceptive will, God does not always get what He desires. Yes, it is according to God's perceptive will, but no, it will not happen because man's decision may not be what God desires. Man chooses something else. Again, God's perceptive will, we're talking about God's desire and man's decision. Now, in the margin of 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, write 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And then if you would, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Here Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Now, God's desire is expressed here, that He's not willing that any should perish, and that all should come to repentance, which is what is required in order for them to be forgiven. Now, clearly, though, some will perish. Some will not come to repentance. So what do we have? Well, you have God's desire, but you have man's decision. This is God's preceptive will here. When we talk about the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, this is God's preceptive will. In the margin of 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, write 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. And then turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. Paul says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." This is what God desires, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And so God's desire is clearly expressed here. But man must make his own decision of whether that will be accomplished or not. Again, this is God's preceptive will. You know, some may turn to these passages and they may talk about the will of God. This is the way, this is God's sovereign will, His purposive will. This is the way it's going to happen. Well, it's evident that as you look at these passages in their context and the context of the Bible as a whole, that we're talking about something that God desires, but it's man's decision whether or not He's going to do it or not. And God does not always get His desire in these areas. Some think that that takes away from the sovereignty of God, when man can make a decision that's not according to what he desires. No, God's still in control. Just because man has the freedom to choose does not mean that God is out of control, that He's no longer the sovereign God. But we understand that in Scripture, that there are things that are according to God's perceptive will, which is His desire, but man has the decision of whether or not he will do it or not. So God's perceptive will, there are many things which God desires that may or may not be accomplished, because God has left it up to man to decide whether it shall be done or not. We are most familiar with God's preceptive will in terms of His laws, His precepts, and His commandments. So when you think of His perceptive will, basically it's His desire for man, His desire to bless man, His desire for all men to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth, go to heaven. That's what He desires. And He made it possible whereby all men could be. Jesus died for all. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son for those whom He loves. That's everybody, the whole world. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 says that Jesus tasted death for every man. So God showed His desire with His actions by providing a way whereby every man could be saved. Why is it that some are lost? Well, it's because man has the freedom to choose. Man is a free moral agent. And then also His perceptive will, many times we see in the terms of His laws, His commandments, of His will for our life, what He wants us to do. But it's up to us of whether or not we're going to put it into practice within our lives. Now, I'm not making all the applications as yet as it relates to the will of God. We're going to do that as we look at all of the different areas of the will of God. And what we are looking at is these three areas of God's will as revealed in Scripture. There's His purposive will, His preceptive will, and His permissive will. And that's what we're going to talk about next. His purposive will, What He decrees, it will be done. It's God's desire, God's decision. His preceptive will, it's God's desire, but it's man's decision. But then it's His... So I think I have this up here. And then His perceptive will, God's desire, and man's decision. And we talked about His perceptive will tonight. But God's permissive will, which is what we'll talk about next time, is man's decision and God's permission. Just to give you an inkling of this, in James chapter 4, you make plans to go into a city and buy and sell, as you don't know what will be on the morrow. What should you say? If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. There's a permissive will of God. Man makes the decision, but the Bible also talks about the permissive will of God. We're going to talk about that in our next study. So bear with me. We'll make some applications of this as it relates to other decisions that we have to make, as it relates to, you know, how can we decide what do we do about this young man who was killed in an automobile accident by a drunk driver. Is that the Lord's will? How do I get all of that sorted out in my mind about life, about God's providence? We'll be talking about His providence. I'm not saying we'll answer all of our questions, but we'll be looking at some of these questions as we continue our study of the will of God. Thank you so much for your attention this evening. If you have questions about anything that we've talked about, then feel free to talk with me. If you'd like an outline of this material, I'd be glad to give you outlines of this material as well. There may be some here tonight who need to respond to the invitation of our Lord and Savior. And what I mean by that is you're in sin. You're not in right relationship with God. You don't have the hope of eternal life. And the Lord is inviting you to come to Him that you might find rest to your soul, that you might find forgiveness, that you may have that hope. And if that is you, if you are in sin and need the saving power of the blood of Jesus, we encourage you to come to Jesus tonight and render obedience to His gospel. Come to Him believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He died for you, that He was raised from the dead, and He's Lord and Savior. And now commit your life on the basis of that faith. Commit your life to Him by repenting of all sins, turning away from all sin, giving your life to Him. And then confess your faith in Jesus and be baptized, immersed in water, for the remission of your sins. The Lord will save you. If you've become a Christian, fallen away, come back to the Lord. Repent. Go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive you. And if you want the prayers of the brethren, we'll pray on your behalf. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.